Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. The Mark Steiner Show brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. Remember, it's a credit union, not just a bank. It belongs to you and money comes back in the end. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. More information at www.mecu.com or at steinershow.org is MeQ, Baltimore Credit Union's banner. We're now joined by Linda McAllister, Republican strategist, former congressional candidate, host of Night Talk, Get to the Point, Pittsburgh Cable News Channel, and Get It Right with Lenny McAllister on News Radio 1020, and joins us here often as a commentator. And we're going to talk today about this, the announcement that Ted Cruz is running, what that means, if anything. And Lenny, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Mark, it's always good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
And you all can join us here at 410-319-8888. You can log on to our Facebook pages. You can tweet me at Mark Steiner. But please, give us a holler, 410-319-8888. So we have Ted Cruz announcing, probably, who represents the Tea Party and really conservative elements, announced at the Liberty College, which was the heart of the moral majority when they still called themselves that, in Virginia. So give me your analysis of what you think this means.
I think this means that we'll have a right-wing candidate in the race, somebody that's going to try to talk to the Christian conservative base, somebody that's going to try to get ahead of the game in places such as Iowa and South Carolina. I think that the Republican establishment is going to put a target on his back like they already have. And it'll be very interesting to see how he responds to that and how Republican voters respond to that. You know, a lot of times folks that are coming from the right wing have a lot of rhetoric, but they don't have a lot of charisma. And then they go back to somebody like a Reagan and fail to realize that Reagan had a lot of charisma. Even people that didn't like Reagan couldn't hate Reagan because of the charisma that he exuded in some of these situations. They think that rhetoric's going to be enough, or a political position is going to be enough to get the center of America or people that lean left to vote in general elections. That's just not the case. So it'd be very interesting to see if Ted Cruz stays Ted Cruz, or if he does what Rand Paul did and goes to a 2.0 version of himself to try to be more relatable to more of America going into a 2016 general election, not just the hardcore folks in the primaries.
Yeah, I mean, I heard that recently well, let's play this little clip first before I do that. This is a clip of Ted Cruz talking about health care under President Obama.
Imagine in 2017, a new president signing legislation repealing every word of Obamacare.
So, I mean, you know, he's like somebody who's been known like that to go for that kind of jugular to when he led the congressional Republicans to shut down the government over the Affordable Care Act, when he wouldn't, when he defeated, we'll get to David Dewhurst in a moment. But, I mean, this is one of the reasons the Republican establishment leans away from him.
Well, yeah, and on top of that, it's really a matter of asking the question, what does a win look like? And this is something I've brought up on your show several times. I've brought up on other shows, on my show, my radio show, television show. You know, the Tea Party forgot what legislative wins look like, how to stack together wins, how to build something. And they go for the jugular in every single thing. I mean, for example, yes, let's say he wins the White House, but the Republicans have a repeat of 2012, not 2016, where now all of a sudden the Senate tips back towards the Democrats. What's a Republican president, a Democratic Senate, and a Republican House of Representatives going to do with Obamacare? Absolutely nothing, because they're not going to be able to agree on making radical changes to the current law the way that Ted Cruz is looking to do. So, again, it goes back to what do you do with your power? And I think this is one of the critiques that people such as John McCain has had of Ted Cruz. You're in this position. You can do a lot of good. How do you mobilize your followers? How do you mobilize those that are willing to take that momentum and push it to the next level? If you're really just going to go rage against the machine, that's not going to be good enough.
Even in a Republican primary that is that leans pretty right?
I think that it will do that, but I think you'll see the same dynamic that you saw with Mitt Romney. There's going to be people in this race that aren't going to be able to say, I led purple states. I mean, if Chris Christie still announces and still runs, he is the chief executive of a blue state. Jeb Bush was the chief executive of a purple state. You look at somebody like a Scott Walker, been a blue state at the presidential level for quite some time. So, or last several elections, I should say. So when you look at people coming from those types of areas, and you put them on the same stage as a Ted Cruz, if they can talk the conservative talk like a Scott Walker, but also be able to raise the money, the big-time money that Ted Cruz can get to in Texas, such as a Jeb Bush, where does that leave Ted Cruz? It leaves him as an interesting voice, but not necessarily an interesting candidate.
There was somebody who was on the show the other week, Tom Schaller, written a new book. And in his book, he posits that that the way the districts are divided up in the United States at the moment, that Republicans will probably control the House until at least the mid-2020s. Because of the Constitution, the Senate's always kind of in gridlock in these last 20 years and will remain so. It can go back and forth between Republicans and Democrats. But that the White House itself is in Democratic hands, and there's actually no way Republicans can beat that given the demographics of America today.
No, and that's the thing. You're going to have to be able to flip some of these states over. Pennsylvania can't continue to be a blue state at the presidential level. Same with Ohio, same with Virginia, same with Wisconsin, Michigan. You start looking at the Rust Belt, you start looking at places such as Virginia, North Carolina, which was solidly red, was a blue state in 2008 and was barely a red state. So now it's a purple state, North Carolina. I mean, you're looking at Georgia and the possibility of changing the dynamics there. We know that Florida is the ultimate purple state. When you start looking at these dynamics, if Republicans aren't able to take conservatism and have it make sense to these key states, how can they win a White House? And so when you look at somebody like a Ted Cruz, it's great that he made the announcement at a Liberty University, but is that going to work in Northern Virginia? Liberty University is one thing. Northern Virginia is completely different, and he's going to need both in order to make that state a winnable state if he is the nominee in 2016.
Now, it's funny to say something, Lenny. You've been on the show a lot over the years now, over the last 8 years. You've been a presence on this program, which we really appreciate. And I'd just like to get your analysis on one piece. Now, we've seen Ted Cruz in the race. Others clearly are going to get in the race. Jeb Bush is clearly going to be in the race. But you, as you hold deeply conservative beliefs, economically speaking. As a black man in America, as a Republican Party activist, and all the kind of contradictions you see. You know, when you look at the Republican Party in Congress, almost all the representatives are white men, almost all. And when you look at the Democratic Party, it's the first time in the history of the Democratic Party where the majority of people who represent people in Congress are either women or Latino or they're Asian or they're African-American. So where do you see the future, given who you are and what you believe?
I mean, honestly, Mark, the future of the Republican Party, and it's going to sound arrogant, but don't listen to what I'm saying.
Go ahead, man. Go.
Like.
What?
No, it. The Republican Party, the future of the Republican Party is going to look a lot like me, or it's going to continue to be a minority party. It's going to be a regionalized party that has its occasional wins that pop up, but when it comes to true effectiveness, it's going to have a hard time winning over younger people. It's going to have a hard time winning over more and more of America as we move forward in the 21st century. It's going to have to look more like me, where you have economically conservative views, and even when you look at certain social issues such as racism, affirmative action, stop and frisk, you can take a constitutional approach to it that's conservative, but it makes sense for urban America. And until that transpires in the Republican Party, until people such as the Ted Cruz or other presidential candidates are able to articulate that as well as they can say their full name and believe it and know it as being a true conservative value, we're going to continue to talk about this tug of war where Republicans have regionalized wins. But when it comes to the White House, when it comes to being able to change certain laws or change certain tenets in American society, they're just not going to have the support or the ability to do so.
And so what do people like you, as you in the Republican Party, do if the candidate is not, let's say, a Jeb Bush?
stay influential, continue to speak out, continue to move the ball forward. Try to be leaders and not be followers. Don't just get behind a candidate. If you're going to support a candidate, push that candidate to be the best that he can be. One of the examples that we talk about all the time in the Republican Party is the fact that Frederick Douglass pushed Lincoln. Lincoln didn't do all these things by himself.
No, he did not.
He had a black consciousness there in the person of Frederick Douglass that put his feet to the fire on a regular basis, and as a result, it moved America forward. Now, I'm not saying that somebody like me or other folks aren't going to be Frederick Douglass. That's a tall task for any one man or woman. But we have to at least embody the spirit of Douglass and be those individuals until either A, we have different types of candidates, or B, we get the change that we're seeking. All as Americans.
So what are you doing this election? Are you working? Just a personal question maybe I shouldn't ask you, and tell me to shut up and go away. So are you are you working during this election, or are you running? I had to ask, man.
I just got off the treadmill, so if that counts, then yes, I'm running, but I'll be running every single day if that's what you're considering running.
That's a good politic answer, my brother.
Then we'll leave it at that.
I had to ask you just to see what you would say, but that's good. Continue being on this program is great, and I we'll make it one Saturday morning here to join you as well. We're talking to Lenny McAllister, who's a Republican strategist, former congressional candidate, host of Night Talk, Get to the Point on Pittsburgh Cable News Channel, and Get It Right with Lenny McAllister on News Radio 1020 KDKA in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And my friend Lenny, good to talk to you. Thank you so much.
God bless you, Mark. Take care.
Okay, brother. We're taking a quick break. On our way to break, we're hearing Plug Tunum by De La Soul. Mays from De La Soul was born on this day in 1970. Happy birthday, Mays. When we come back, we're going to hear a debate on whether or not the state should be sponsoring retirement plans for people in small businesses. That's in the state legislature. And it affects many of us because over 1 million Marylanders do not have a retirement plan. So stay with us. We'll be right back. On the way to this break, let me just say this as well, because here's the announcement we have to make. It's a good one. March Madness is rolling on. It's the first round of voting on the WEAA Jazz Madness has ended. Log on to WEAA.org to see who has moved on to the second round and cast your vote as 32 of your favorite jazz artists remain in competition. Instrumentalists and vocalists from straight ahead to contemporary jazz, the second round of voting runs now through Tuesday, March 24th, here on your source for cool jazz and more. WEAA 89.FM, the voice of the community. Answering any of the service, prerogative, praise positively, I'm a